T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Gresh and Keith.
So I have a torn labrum in my hip surgery. I'm going to do surgery. I just don't know what the exact date is. Probably within a month. Probably be looking at January or February return to hockey. So I'm not going to play for anybody else than the Bruins.
Andy Gresh.
We'll figure that out, but hopefully we can make something work. That's obviously my goal. And like I said, hopefully we can make that happen. It's about, you know, more of a fit for me than, you know, maybe money or, you know, long-term thing.
Rich Keith.
Major League Baseball bought the rights to Raleigh. Now they have the rights and the capability of accessing the manufacture of the baseball. That's something to think about.
Gresh and Keefe.
I'm a bear.
Money.
Money. On WEEI.
Final hour on a Friday. Big, big day for the Boston Bruins. If you're Don Sweeney, you heard a lot of really good things. You heard one guy who was like, well, I'll get back on the ice maybe in February. That, well, maybe you don't have to sign because no one's going to sign an injured goalie. And then you had Taylor Hall in there. Well, I really don't know what my value is, but, you know, different two seasons. And then you have David Krejci, who's like, I love it here in Boston. I'm going to take a couple of weeks and then we'll figure it out. And, well, it's good if he takes a couple of weeks to figure it out, because that might work to the Bruins' favor in terms of keeping that number down. So if you're Don Sweeney, pretty good day today.
Yeah, I would say so. And we were sort of leading towards that. You thought, all right, Taylor Hall, at least while he was here, he was saying all the right things, and he talked about being, you know, the center of attention on other teams and in losing organizations and all this stuff and playing games that matter at the end of the year. Tuca and Krejci, you know, they've played their entire careers here. They've had a lot of great memories here, and I think they want to stay here. So you could take all of their contracts from this year and slice them down and maybe bring them back. You can still make the additions, because one of the reasons for being, hey, push Tuca out, push Krejci out, is to spend their money on other younger players. But if you're getting those guys for real cheap, well, then maybe you can still add those other pieces that you want, and for a year or two, still roll out somebody like David Krejci.
And don't you think that if you can bring some of those veterans back, then it also makes it easier for you to sort of whittle down your targets of the people that you want to bring in? In that, if you had two spots open, you might look at four players. Whereas if you got one spot, you might be able to really like hone in on the, this is the guy that we really want. And we can sell them on, here's Hall, Krejci's coming back.
Yeah.
We know we got a good relationship with Rask. We got a good young goalie. They need some defensemen, but still,
right. Like
I wonder if in a way it makes it easier in bringing those guys back. Then there is also the just rip the Band-Aid off conversation. And if there were, like how many of these guys would you rip the Band-Aid off with? I know you said you're ready to maybe move on from Rask. Are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely ready to move on.
Are you ready to move on from Krejci too?
I would if the number goes too high. I just think you still want to maximize Bergeron and Marchand, because Pasternak and McAvoy, both, assuming you sign them again once their contracts come up, you have those guys for the real long haul. Mm-hmm. But you don't know if they'll ever have teammates like Bergeron and Marchand ever again. So you need to maximize those two guys specifically. And to me, it may or may not involve David Krejci. If he prices himself out, all right, we can replace you. If not, and you're able to beef up the defense, still have him on a line with Smith and Hall, I'll take it. And with Tuca, I'm done with Tuca. It's I'm ready for Swayman. Like, let me see Jeremy Swayman. You're not going to have the same situation like you had this year, where even with a torn labrum, they're like, well, we got to go with him. We're paying him a lot of money. He's our number one goalie. He's always been our number one goalie, so we're going to stick with him. I'm ready for the Swayman era to begin, but I think you're still in the win now mode.
I also get the sense that whether it's here or online, Bruins fans aren't angry over all of this. And because we joked in the beginning of the show, the whole, well, you know, look, Tuca, there's, you could tell the story one way of the guy dropped his gonads and played his tail off and played injured and all that. And then there is the, well, maybe you should have got him out of there and you needed to save the athlete from himself and all that. But it does sort of like add a layer of complexity to that whole Tuca discussion, but it doesn't feel like there's anger over this. Like, oh my God, Bruce Cassidy, this management group, what a bunch of idiots kind of thing.
There was some, like, it was definitely the minority of the fire those guys, right? Fire Sweeney or fire, you know, Cam. Like, that was sort of in the minority of it. I wonder if part of it is fans, sort of like the Celtics approach for many years, mm-hmm. is where you look around and say, well, you weren't going to beat Tampa Bay or Vegas anyway. I don't know if that's part of the mentality of it, because I really believe two of the last 3 years, they lost a series that they should not have lost.
Yep.
They should have beaten the Blues. As tough as the Blues were, as physical as the Blues were, I think you should have won that. Same with this. The Islanders are a good team. They're like a B. Like a BB plus. They're not an unbeatable force. They don't have any great players on their team. And to lose in six games, to lose three straight at the end like that, you should be frustrated. You should be fired up with that. Even if you're going to lose to Tampa, whatever, you should at least win the series that is right there in front of you. That is a very winnable series. And it was for them.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of the, hey, war of attrition. The biggest issue on this team is not Hall. It isn't Krejci. It isn't Rask. It's you don't have enough defensemen. That's got to be priority number one.
Yeah, that got exposed last
is to improve the defensemen. And I think for the hard-o Bruins fan who would have got hot and bothered over Tuca playing hurt, there is the he played injured. Sorry, injured versus hurt. He played injured, but everybody can look on the back end and say it isn't good enough. In fact, we did this yesterday, right? How many guys do you really want back out of this D-core right now? And you're looking at three solidly, and then maybe four is up for conjecture.
No, I mean, you really, there's only one that you wouldn't move at all.
And that's McAvoy, right.
And I think Grizzlick had a horrible game. He's under contract, and you'll take him. But it's not like you're going to defend somebody right. If they're like, hey, this other team wants to trade for him. All right, have him.
And I like Carlo.
But,
I do too.
But you also know that with Carlo, you're going to need a pretty good insurance policy because the guy misses a ton of games.
Right.
He misses a ton of games, and it seems like come playoff time, he's not around a lot. So you need to have a contingency plan with Carlo. But that's also what's going to keep his value down. He's a restricted free agent.
That's right.
But he's not going to command a ton of money because of the availability thing. So you should still be able to keep him. And even if you bring back Riley, okay, great. You still need to bring in a couple more guys.
And I think for some, you could rationalize there was a lot of bad luck and bad timing with the Bruins in terms of the injury. Like Tampa, they got a great player back after missing the regular season, and it is making all the difference in the world in their playoff run. Whereas if the Bruins maybe had two more defensemen that they could have counted on, or Kevin Miller or someone mm-hmm. like that, they would have been able to make it work. So from the Bruins standpoint, a massive day today, just in terms of information coming out. And most importantly, we heard from people like Krejci and Rask and Hall that they want to be back here. So that really is the first step in all of this, is that those cats want to come back. And that is a very big thing, I think, for the Bruins. We got another chance for you to win some money coming up. But today is the last day of the voluntary OTAs at Gillette Stadium. There's no media allowed down at their practice. But yesterday, the big news, and I know it really found out more towards the end of the show yesterday, so we really didn't get into it, that Dante Hightower was on the field for the New England Patriots yesterday. And a seismic development, if for anything else, a lot of people thought the guy's just going to walk away.
Yeah, and we talked to Kern earlier in the week, and I asked him, you know, there'd been a lot of speculation, and that's all it really was. It was just kind of rumors and guesswork about, you know, could Hightower pull a Patrick Chung? And, you know, he had a solid career, sits out the COVID year, and then is like, you know what? Maybe I'm just done. And I think that was always a possibility. And then when he wasn't there at first, you're like, you know, he couldn't help but at least kind of question it.
Right.
So the fact that he was there yesterday is a great sign. because they need him. Like, as much as they added to their defense and they have legit guys like Judon, they brought back Kyle Van Noy, and you like really across the board some of the additions that they made. Yeah, you want him back. Like, he could be a big difference maker. And now that he's playing with studs again, could it look like, you know, I know they played bad quarterbacks, but could the defense look a little bit like the first half of the 2019 season where they were flying around and they were a real force?
Do we use the L word for the Patriots on defense? Are they loaded? When you look at the roster,
assuming Gilmore and J.C. Jackson are on the team and play.
And Gilmore not there. Again, it is voluntary. We'll see what happens on Monday if he does show up or not.
Yeah, based on guys who are currently on the roster, yeah, it's pretty loaded. At least for like a modern-day defense. Again, they make it as impossible as they can for people to play defense now in the league.
Well, that is true,
As far as that is concerned, that's pretty good. It's a good group.
And that will lead us to a comment from an ESPNer, but let's give away money.
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
Hey, listen, if you think these radio contests are corny and you can't use $1,000, then God bless you. Otherwise, this hour's code word is viral. Text viral to 72881. That is 72881. Now, for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest, a message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive. 110 in regression. Keep on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, and of course on the Odyssey app. We'll get to your three T's a little bit later on. Follow us on Twitter at Gresh Keefe, at Keefe21, and at The Real Gresh. I know Keyshawn Johnson has occasionally appeared on this radio station before.
Sure has. Friend of the show.
And, well, I'm curious to get your thoughts on who he thinks is on the tail of the old Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, Molly, I do have a bone to pick with them, but I also have keywords for both Max and Stephen A. Look, man, you mentioned every team. You mentioned the Titans. Right, you mentioned the Browns, the Ravens. Nobody mentioned the New England Patriots, I don't know why. Why do you not mention the greatest modern-day head coach, mind you, went out in free agency, spent a boatload of money, something they've never done before, to shore up certain positions? How could y'all leave out New England? I don't get it.
I only took one team, Keith. I took the Browns because I think they're the biggest threat. But I think, Stephen A., I think New England's a good call. They'd be up there for me.
Did you like Hightower?
So Keyshawn is a big Belichick fan. Like, we learned that pretty early on. Like, he loves Belichick, and he never once trashed on Cam Newton. Because when he opens the door for, why aren't you guys mentioning New England? Cam Newton. That's why. That's why they're not the number one competition for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Cam Newton sucks.
So that was a joke that he had. But so, he would always defend Cam. He loves Belichick. So I'm not surprised that he was talking up the Patriots, but they're not the number one competition for the Chiefs, right? Because there's a difference between being a playoff team and then being the team. Like, Tennessee and Buffalo seem like the such obvious answers. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, with the addition of Julio Jones, and they added Bud Dupree because they couldn't rush the passer a year ago. Their defense still isn't a strength, but that offense is so good. And they've just been a tough team the last couple of years, or really with Vrabel and with Tannehill the last couple of years. I don't know. I mean, isn't the quarterback position, when you're talking about all the playoff teams, as of right now, the Patriots quarterback is by far the worst out of that group.
Yeah, it's interesting because these teams are now trying to attack Kansas City differently. And I think if someone beats Kansas City in the AFC this year, it is because they figured out how to slow them down and run them over at the same time. Because that's how all these teams are built. Now, to put the Patriots as the team that is sort of nipping at the heels of the Kansas City Chiefs is a little much. However, that's where the defense comes back into question, right? I think, statistically, this is going to be a top five defense this year if everybody stays upright. And that's a big caveat. And you're trying to build, like, if we're going to have 17 regular season games, and by the way, the word is eventually they're going to go to 18 soon enough.
Of course.
Then you're going to have to add more bodies to the roster. Because just having a 53-man roster that you shrink down a couple of guys on game day ain't going to get you through 17 games. And I think now more than ever, and we just talked about it in the NHL, right? You get some bad injuries at the bad timing, and it can kill you in the playoffs. the NFL is very much going to be the same way. Like, we're going to see load management. We're going to see coaches do things they haven't done before. And you know where else we're going to see? We're going to see guys we haven't seen before. Like, at some point, the Patriots are going to have to turn and hand the ball to, like, Brandon Bolden at some point year.
Yeah.
And these teams are going to have to be able to build to sustain some of those, like, C-level players that are going to have to play along the way. And I think that is fascinating, because I would say this to you, Keith. If Tyreek Hill has a, like, an 8-week injury, what does that do to that Kansas City offense?
Oh,
and
yeah.
They don't have...
Mecole Hardman will be the next Tyreek Hill.
But that's the thing. Do they have a pivot?
Yeah, Hardman. I mean, they drafted a guy because
no,
they thought...
Meaning that... So, you know, you got Kelce.
Yeah.
You know, you got Hardman, right? But if you take Hill out of that mix and he's down for 8 weeks, does Kansas City have the ability to diversify their offense enough to where they can cover for it other than just saying, we'll just throw in this guy and keep doing what we're doing? Kansas City's good, but I don't think they're even that good. I don't even know if Tampa offensively is that good to lose like a big wide receiver and still be able to survive and do things the way they would normally
do it. Patrick Mahomes is overrated.
Well, I think he'd be able to overcome it. I think Tampa is built to overcome it. I think they could lose Godwin for 6 weeks and you wouldn't even notice. Like, I think they're that loaded. But that's with everybody. I mean, if everybody loses one of their best players, like, all right, how do they overcome it? And with the Patriots, like, their offense.
But if they lose Hunter Henry early on, the Patriots can still run the offense they want to run.
Correct, which is not an elite offense.
Might not be.
No, it's definitely
but,
not.
But
I mean,
the drop.
Cam Newton's still the quarterback, though.
I think Kansas City is so in on their style offensively that it takes one or two losses for them to have bigger issues. Whereas if you're building it from the old inside out, and this is where people don't like it, but think about it. Even Buffalo, right? Like, Allen had a great year. They still ran the ball up there. New England wants to
Diggs
run the
led
ball.
The league in receiving. They threw the ball a ton, too.
No, right, and it's one guy, right? So, yeah. But Buffalo, if they lose Diggs, then you could argue they're screwed, but at least they have a run game to turn to. Like, if Kansas City had to line up and run the ball even with this new offensive line, I don't know how good they would be doing it. If they're not throwing it 40 times a game, are they good enough to win?
I think Mahomes can throw to other guys, and I think they can. And even if their offense comes down, it's still light years better than what the Patriots are. Because you're that actually sets the point perfectly for the Patriots' offense. They could lose anybody, and it's still going to be fine. Whereas the defense, that's a little bit different. So, like, Gilmore missed a bunch of games this year. So if you have Gilmore and you're like, all right, going up against, you know, all these number one receivers, well, you don't have him now. So now if the Patriots defense isn't top five, then you're really scrambling. Like, that's almost the equivalent of one of these top offensive teams losing a guy.
See, when I look at Kansas City, they're so built on speed, you only have so many of those guys on offense. Whereas, to your point, let's say Gilmore goes down, Jackson becomes your number one. I think Jalen Mills then might slide into being your number two corner, so you could keep Jonathan Jones in the slot, because I'm not keen on Jonathan Jones in any other role other than the one that he is in right now. And you, like, I don't know, is JC Jackson a solid two, or is he kind of like a 1A type corner? In that we know that Gilmore is clearly a one, but, like, I think somebody is going to look at JC Jackson as a number one type corner, and I think New England might be one of those teams that are doing it. That's why they're holding on to the guy. But I think some teams are built to be able to overcome some of this stuff because of the style. And that's my biggest question with Kansas City is, and look, fully healthy. You know what Tampa did? Smacked them around. Smacked them, and that quarterback couldn't put on his magical shoes and find a way to lead that team.
But you also need both to work for you, and that's what Tampa had. They had the great defense, but they could also keep up with you on the scoreboard, where I don't think – like, the Patriots' defense is going to have to play out of their mind against somebody like Kansas City. But then the offense is going to have to do something, which I know. Listen, I love the tight ends that they added. I don't think the wide receivers that they added are that good. And Cam's still throwing the ball. So as long as Cam's the quarterback, I think this team is still offensively going to be really challenged. Doesn't mean they can't win games. Doesn't mean there's not an opportunity for the 20-17 victory every week. You know, some good defense and all that stuff. But them offensively, they are still a far cry. You look at the other likely playoff teams in the AFC, Tennessee already had a good off. They already had a top five offense, mm-hmm. and they added Julio Jones. The Bills played out of their mind a year ago. I think the Browns are getting better. I think the Chargers are a team to watch for, and that offense is really good.
I wish I could believe in them. Because aren't we now on year five of watch out for the Chargers?
Well, like, no, we're not.
I mean, this is year two of Justin Herbert.
I was going to say, Justin Herbert's new and Anthony Lynn's gone.
No, but so even
when Staley's going to be a good coach.
No, but even when they had old Phil Rivers, keep an eye on San Diego.
No, not with Phil
Rivers. I'm not sure.
You knew they were going to lose
Phil
Rivers.
That was all the
Rivers.
National pundits. Yeah, Phil Rivers. MVP.
No, rah. Herbert's the guy. Herbert's the reason to get behind them, plus the receivers they have, and just anybody not named Anthony Lynn, that's going to be a good team.
I found a nugget here the other day on the Titans. Paul Kuharsky had this. He's one of those talk show guys and covered the Titans for a while, right? Mm-hmm. He said, before last year, 31 running backs touched the ball 400-plus times during a season when they were between the ages of 25 and 29.
Okay.
29 of those 31 saw their production decrease significantly the following year. Now, what's nuts is we've talked about Derrick Henry with the Titans, like 1,600 yards 2 years ago, 2,000 last year, and the carries have just gone up. Mm-hmm. He is right in the meaty part of that stat from Paul Kuharsky right there, because I think Henry turns 28 this year. Might even 27. Be 27 this year. Mm-hmm. So is that guy, and I made the joke about the modern-day Jim Brown, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder, and now looking at that number, it's like, okay, maybe that's a part of the reason why they went and got Julio Jones. Because it's either, A, you're going to have Jones and Brown out there, and it's just going to be easier to run for Henry, or there's going to be a little bit of attrition at that position relative to his carries. Maybe they could find a scat back to change it up a little bit or something in that vein.
Yeah,
but that's a pretty interesting number.
Oh, it is. And I think that's why I love the Julio Jones deal, because I think Julio Jones being good probably lines up with how many more years Derrick Henry is going to be really good. Because that's one of those where he could even be worse than he was last year and still lead the league in rushing. Mm-hmm. Like that's, you know, they probably do need to cool it a little bit with his carries. He averaged just under 24 carries a game last year. So maybe that number comes down a little bit. The year before, it was like 20 carries a game.
I also think you need to notice, too, that the Tennessee Titans offense before they got Julio was extremely thin. Like, it was Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, and then nothing because they lost.
I mean, A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown, sorry. And so they needed something. Otherwise, one injury ruins their season. Now with Julio Jones, like, at least you
they're
kind
built
of
pretty good.
Maintain that success at least a little bit.
And they got Firkser.
Yeah, they got their red zone target for Firkser, but they lost Jonnu Smith. They lost, was it Corey Davis to the Jets?
Oh, big money.
So I just think they needed this Julio Jones pickup more than a lot of other teams.
It was insurance in a lot of ways, but it also helps diversify that offense a little bit. And I can't believe we're sitting here talking about a team that is quarterbacked by Ryan Tannehill, and we're talking about them in such glowing terms.
Good. You'd kill for a Ryan Tannehill right now.
It's amazing how that guy.
Over the moon.
If you had Ryan Tannehill on this team with the guys they have and the defense they have,
but do you think Belichick would trust him enough to do things like Vrabel has allowed him to do in Tennessee? Like, I almost feel like that at times New England gets in their own way, because while they can identify like the Wes Welker of the, but they don't, you know, like they've gone up against Tannehill and it's, we know this guy. We know he's easy to shut down. So, therefore, we're not going to have any interest in him in free agency. I almost wonder if there's that, well, we've smacked that guy around. We don't believe that we could even coach him up and make him any good. Whereas Tennessee, you might argue that they fell ass backwards into having Tannehill.
They did. They signed him as a backup.
But they were at least open to the possibility of it. Whereas I think when some of those guys come open on the market, it's, I'd rather have Brian Hoyer back for a 16th year or whatever.
When Tannehill moved teams, Brady was on the team.
Of
so
course.
You weren't going to pay a high
but,
pace.
But you
backup,
can reference offensive linemen, defensive linemen. I mean, they've seen a ton of guys over the years. Now they pluck the good ones, right? Like Gilmore was one of those. Who knows, maybe Devin Godshaw, like from Miami, is one of those low-level dudes or something like that. Like, I think they'll look at,
but this is the first time
it doesn't cost money.
Yeah, but the quarterback thing was the first time they even had to figure that out, and they just waited, took Cam Newton. It was like,
well, yeah.
And they faced him before. They saw him. He played well
well against
but
the
Pats. Again, Jared Stidham's been here for a couple of years, and they're still looking at him as some sort of viable backup versus
he's getting the number one reps.
Maybe somebody, I know, right? How about that? Like,
see, okay, again, how long are they gonna when Keyshawn says, why is nobody talking about the Patriots?
Well, they, I mean,
there you go.
You're saying
the
that,
quarterback
yeah,
position.
That guy yeah. is getting the number. And it and I don't think it all comes down to that per se, because I do think there is a little bit of a different plan in place this year from Belichick. But again, it'll be real easy to see. They're going to be able to, I think they might win, but there's going to be a lot of Mondays. They're going to be sitting here and being like, they won, but you know the quarterback isn't getting it done. Right. It'll be the, we're going to be able to see it once again, but they'll be functional enough around him that we'll at least have an idea as to what right. they are.
We're going to be like, well, if you take away the pick six, the blocked punts, and like the 100 yards by Damian Harris, what the offense do?
What did yeah, the yeah, offense yeah, do? Yeah, right. Yeah. Whereas in some of these, you know, some of these other teams, again, I think there's a very thin margin for error. And if I'm the players in the Players Association, I'm like, yo, you want us to play extra games. You got to give us more roster spots to be able to manage this whole thing. Also, college football playoff might be being tweaked a little bit, just as an aside, because I'm a huge college football guy, and you'll see me on TV this college football season. I'm sure John will be cutting it up and making an idiot out of me. But apparently the college football playoff is considering expanding to 12. Which, again, doesn't exactly fit into a nice bracket.
Seems like a really weird number. I figured 8 or 16 would be the logical next steps, but 12? Like, okay.
I talked to someone last night.
I'll take it, though. It's better than 4.
Oh, of course. Well, I talked to someone last night who said, yeah, the reason it's 12 is because the next contract will go up exponentially, and then
16.
The final way, yeah, get to 16 to be able to make it all even. Steven.
Go 32 like Division 3, you cowards.
I mean,
nobody complains about that. Everybody gets a shot.
You know what gets in the way of that, though? Those conference championship games. If they could find a way, seriously, though,
yeah.
if they could find a way to incorporate the conference championship games into some sort of playoff structure, now you'd really have something. But it's going to be more about who wins those games. And apparently,
well, teams, they play too many games as it is.
Well,
something seems like at the end of the year, Clemson, you're like, there were 17-0 or whatever.
You never heard much, my.
It's like a ton.
No, but I've never rolled out my straight up plan for college football.
Oh, you have
this
a plan?
This should be so easy.
All right.
The last weekend of August is when the first games get played.
Got it.
So it gives you 12 weeks to play 11 games. Then you get into conference championships, okay. right? And everybody can go do that. Then it's the early part of whatever playoffs you come up with. Then you stop that so you can have these ridiculous bowls, because for those who don't know, bowls make a ton of money. Tons of money. Then you pick back up with the old national tournament again. But if you could eliminate the conference championship games and allowing the Big 12 to go sell it to Dr. Pepper, right? If you could find a way to wrap all that money together into, you could very easily, to your point, Rich, have a national tournament if you wanted to, where you could, where all the conferences could be represented yeah, in some easy. Way. You could package them up into a bracket of 32. And I argue that it would be bigger than the NCAA basketball tournament. Because we're so football crazed, if you tell people we're going to put it in a bracket, think of what the ratings
people have, like brackets.
People, I mean,
like brackets.
Think about what the ratings have done since they've just gotten down to 4 teams
right.
in a bracket.
Yeah, yeah.
Let alone if they really expanded it out. But anyway, that's another story for another time. Let's get to Shime.
Like the show? Of course you do.
I hate this guy.
Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI. Have you been watching the show today?
At twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Been tweeting the show?
At Gresh Keefe on Twitter.
Texting the show?
At 37937.
Well, now it's time to read only the positive messages.
From Twitch, Twitter, and the text line.
On Gresh and Keefe.
1:34, let's get to it. Shime is all over it. You can watch this show, believe it or not, on the old Twitch stream, weei.com/watch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Text us 37937, Twitter at GreshKeefe. Shime, what do we have today?
Got a lot today, guys. So right off the bat in the Twitch chat, if you play through the injury and you win, then you're God. If you play through the injury and you give up a ton of goals, you suck. And your coach sucks, too.
So, it has been a little torn in that regard, because a lot of the knocks on Tuca in the past, again, aside from the obvious, he has never won a cup, is just that he's bagged out of a lot of games when he should have played.
Well, this is kind of confusing to people because he really shouldn't have played, and he did. I'm not blaming Tuca for that at all. That's why I think that goes to Bruce Cassidy. Bruce Cassidy should have made that decision. Because most players, especially come playoff time, if they're medically cleared to play, they're going to say, play me. But you have to sort of see from, you'd be like, all right, that ain't it. You have a torn labrum, and you're a butterfly-style goalie. It doesn't add up. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. Thanks, John.
Butch Cassidy's showing he could have turned to the Sundance Kid, but didn't. Thank
did
you.
Did not.
From the 603, 100% Bruce effed up.
There you go. I'm in there.
So then we brought up the streaker at last night's Red Sox game, how Will seemed a little bit unamused.
He was. He was upset. He was mad at him.
A couple people made comments about that. If it was a peach-colored shirt the guy was wearing, I thought it might have been Shime.
And running rather menacingly towards Paredes.
If you streaked, I assume you were doing a Naruto run?
Oh, absolutely.
A nude Naruto?
I would be butt-ass naked.
Yeah.
I would nothing to hide.
Feed them aliens via a Naruto run.
Now, I don't know if these people on the text are right, but there were those when we brought that up who were like saying, well, then the charges would be worse because
indecent
you're
exposure.
Exposing yourself to children. And
you'd be registered as like a level 3 or something.
How do you know that so quick?
How many levels are there? Because
a buddy of mine.
Oh my God.
He was taking a, he was urinating in public. And classic. Suffered that.
So did he have to go to his neighbors and be like, hey, by the way, I'm a sex offender?
I think so, yes.
Yikes.
Well, that's a level 1, I believe. I think 3 you have to go to the neighbors.
I don't know the numbers.
These guys know a little too much, but like not enough, but enough about this. It's a
well, anyways,
concerning.
More on the streaker. That poor cop was way too fat to deal with that.
Yeah, I feel okay. So there might be a mixed bag. There's some security guards in that role that are just like, hey, I get to enjoy the Red Sox game. There are others that are waiting and just say, as a guy runs on the field, I can do whatever I want to him because they are endangering the players.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
So you can take out all of your rage on that person. You know, some people, maybe they take a kickboxing class. Others wait for a streaker to run on the field and then take them down.
Because they're great 8th grade nose tackles and they want to relive the glory.
That's right.
If the streaker was Shime and his 4.8 speed, they would have never caught him.
4.8, yeah, but so the speed's one thing.
In fourth quarter, we'd have been state champions, no doubt.
Endurance, though, is important here because you might be able to run the bases fast, but then what do you do? Like, what's your plan? Like, as a streaker, and I know the answer is they don't have one, but if they run onto the field, it's what? Take a lap?
You have to have an escape route.
Yeah, but
great open field tackle.
Where are you going to go? Try to climb up the monster? That's what I would do.
Climb up the flagpole?
Oh. Yes, I would climb up the monster and that little ladder that they have.
That would be
genius.
And then be like, now what?
And you can't get me. You're going to follow me up the ladder? You're going to pull me down and hurt me?
They probably tase you. They do the long tase. You drop 20 feet.
But aren't you trapping yourself by going up the ladder? Because one at the bottom, one at the top. What are you going to do? Hang on the ladder?
Yeah.
I have a solution, though. When you go shirtless, have goldenpalace.com on the back. Sell it. Make some money. You at least can pay for your bail.
There you go.
Remember, like, boxers used to do that? They'd have, like, goldenpalace.com like grease pencil or whatever on them. Imagine we could write on Shime. Listen to Gresham Keefe every day, Monday through Friday.
That'd be great.
Burn, brought to you by Brennan Smoke Shop.
Right. We could do all that stuff.
Billboards be damned that we already have at Fenway. Get Shime naked up there. All that surface area.
People will talk about this. Yeah, what do we do in the extra room? Throw in a dork pod. Forget it.
Good effort.
Just do hashtag dork across your butt cheeks.
From the 413, Shime would definitely tackle a streaker, then proceed to tell him all about his 40 time, and now he had no shot of a successful streak after said tackle.
It's true.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
A texter said a 4.8 speed or height. Just kidding.
No, come on.
I'm a well-oiled.
You're not spaz. Well, spaz would be 4.8.
I'm more than a full foot above 4.8.
Yeah,
come on.
Can
Shime have a food segment on hashtag dork called hashtag fork?
Mac
and Goo do it.
Yeah, Mac and Goo actually already do
Simpsons
a hashtag
did
fork.
It. Simpsons did it.
Well, we also talked about how Bruce Brown decided it was going to be his moment.
best.
From Twitch chat, we got this is Bruce Brown. Leroy Jenkins!
100%.
Shut the fuck up, Bruce.
Kyrie Irving on my left. Kevin Durant on my right. It's Bruce Brown time!
Oh, my God.
Bruce, pass it. It's not even like pass it to one guy. There are two choices.
You only have four other teammates. Half of the passes, it would have worked out.
Do you have to coach him up on that, or will he now get shunned by those other two guys? He'll never touch the ball the rest of the series.
Or if he just went on Twitter, he might never shoot again.
That's true.
Like that'll be interesting. Game four, Bruce Brown shot attempts. Over under two.
Yeah,
I take the under
there
on that.
Ain't getting to the ball.
Yeah.
Well, we always get comments from David Ortiz and Garrett Richards' jacket.
That's right,
the show.
To the regulars.
Today just happened to be about the exact same thing. So first, Garrett Richards' jacket said, Gresh looks like he's president of the M&M fan club with that hat.
I changed it up for the I'm trying to lure people to watch us on Twitter, WEEI.com/watch.
M&M the rapper actor, not the candy.
Correct. Well, then David Ortiz weighed in saying, Gresh with the hat looks like M&M's older brother, Milk Dud.
Well, that's not bad.
That's not too bad.
It's better than his normal punch.
You know what? If he had said that 2 years ago when I was much heavier, it probably would have worked.
Yeah, even better.
Sure. That's just a joke.
Will is so angry about the
streaker. I can't wait till Wednesday.
I cannot wait.
I almost
want to
get him on Monday and be like, what were you thinking?
What happened to you in the past?
Yeah, right.
Streakers.
Right? How did a streaker hurt you?
Something.
We were talking about Tubin and how he kind of helped himself on a Zoom call.
That's right.
And
he's back now.
And Gresh recommended doing it in the shower. Well, from the 774, maybe JA could try that. Go one, go two, do it, sit down, and cry all in the same shower.
It's a busy shower.
It is.
It's a long shower.
I'm trying to get in and out of there.
You're a quick shower.
Yeah, I take
water
to dry in the shower.
Stop. When you say you sit huddled in the shower with your knees pulled up,
I don't do it for an hour. I do Walking Dead showers. 10 minutes in, 10 minutes out.
That's even crazier. A quick sit shower.
It doesn't.
Once you get down there, as crazy as it is, you might as well sit there.
You're
and
not
enjoy
getting
it.
Up.
No.
Do you know how many times or how difficult it would be to try and get up and you'd slip and fall, maybe hit your head?
No. It's difficult for you to get up once you get down.
All right, I'm fine, John.
I can pull myself up.
I just feel like that is a...
By my bootstraps.
The whole sitting in the shower thing makes no sense whatsoever.
That guy should never be allowed in Fenway Park ever again.
Oh, come on. He should be able to do a game with you and Joe. That's what I think.
Yeah, let me in the booth.
Get him up in the booth. Let him do a game.
Somebody in Twitch chat called him a hero.
Let him do a game.
Also from the Twitch chat, Gresh put on his jacket there, his track jacket. OMG, he added the tracksuit jacket. He is now Greshnikov.
Is that Gresh?
There you go.
Greshnikov.
I don't get that.
I guess he looks like a Russian mobster?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I can see that.
He's the guy I made my bets to when I was betting on Russian table
tennis.
That's
true. Anti-Sergey.
Oh, he's got the glasses.
Sunglasses as well. Yeah, I can see that. That's all coming together now.
Hello, I'm here with Tony Soprano. I'm going to park the car around
the
back.
I need you to place my bet on Anatoly, please.
Oh, by the way, I saw there was a big table tennis scandal out there, apparently.
Not great.
No, not at all. It's now like regular tennis scandal that is now creeping into the match fixing and stuff. So there's a Sergey somewhere.
Huh? I got out of there before anything went wrong.
You cashed out?
Yes,
good.
I did.
Good, good.
Yeah.
From the 207, Gresh referencing Seinfeld is like a dad saying back in my day.
I saw some guy on the text be like,
come on, though. Seinfeld's timeless.
Well, and a guy was like, no one cares about that show.
Seinfeld?
Right, exactly. It's like the most famous sitcom of all time, but ever. Some 19-year-old who doesn't get it is like, oh, no one cares about it.
3 years ago during hashtag Dork Madness, we did best TV show. We did 64 shows in a bracket style, and we let the people vote.
Bracket.
Seinfeld was the best show as voted on by people. And that was going up against, you know, The Wire and Breaking Bad and all that. And people voted for Seinfeld.
Being someone who didn't grow up with Seinfeld, like, I recognize that Seinfeld was the basis for a lot of great shows.
It's the best show ever.
And, television stations fight over having it 20 years later. But it sucked. Dumbass Dexter.
Someone in the Twitch chat said, I saw a meme on Facebook about Cam where the caption was Cam working out with receivers, and it's a 5-year-old skipping rocks on a lake.
Probably true.
Thought they were going to go to the little Geico Gecko who did that in the latest commercial. Doesn't he throw and skip one on a lake?
Hey, little guy, having a good time.
I got two left for you. One is from the 508. What is this obsession with Cam starting? It's not going to happen. What will you have to say when Mac Jones is good? And to that I say...
You just Pillsbury Doughboy there, Sean.
Yeah, well, I go for a mix of the Pillsbury Doughboy and the Joker. I feel like that's a nice balance.
If John pressed your belly, I would envision that you would have done that. But
if Cam Newton's healthy, he's starting week one.
It's not even a question.
And I'm the biggest Mac Jones guy, and even but I agree with that. They're right. Starting the year with Cam Newton.
That's
no
it.
Question.
That's it.
He's dummies.
That's all.
Anyways, from the 603, Keith, a question for you.
Yes.
Oh.
Sean, gun to your head. James, gun to your belly.
Okay.
You have to choose an hour-long conversation with LeBron or Kyrie. Which one?
Gun to the belly. I think, honestly, LeBron. Because...
What if LeBron James were white?
That'd be my first question. No, I would ask him... He's at least involved in movies now. So I could talk to him about his movie studio, movie production, things like that. A Kyrie Irving hour conversation would feel like 3 weeks.
You talk about Flat Earth.
Who knows where you'd go
Moon
around,
landings.
Though. Yeah, but then he'd ask me if the internet's
likes
real.
And clicks.
I'd be like, I think so. No, the Kyrie Irving... conversation would be much worse. And that takes some doing, but that'd be worse.
There you go. All right. Yeah. Keith would rather have a conversation with LeBron. And guys, that was T3 for the day.
There we go. It's time for You Got Something as we bring it home on a Friday next.
Back to the guys, Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
All right, we bring it home with You Got Something, brought to you by Unified Office. If you run restaurants, you know that busy signals and placing customers on hold means lost revenue. Let Unified Office help you maximize sales at unifiedoffice.com. I got something.
What do you got?
35 years ago today, on June 11th, the year of our Lord, 1986, Ferris Bueller's Day Off premiered in movie theaters. My favorite movie. Who would have thought 35 years? And Matthew Broderick looks the same.
He really does, doesn't he?
Married to someone who kind of looks like a foot.
Oh, foot. Most people go horse. Both of them are mean. I wouldn't recommend either. I don't stand by either
one. Is that Sarah Jessica Parker?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Matthew Broderick's kind of not great himself.
I'm not making any judgments on anybody's looks. I'm just saying I've heard that about
I think the line I used in terms of a foot is what they exactly used in Family Guy when I think Matthew Broderick might have been like on board or something like that. But anyway, on Saturday, UFC 263, for those of you who are degenerates, I had a texter who said, hey, do you take Nate Diaz a plus 400? No. Leon Edwards is going to smack him. That's why it's minus 550. However, if you think the champs are going to retain, Izzy Adesanya, Davison Figueiredo, parlay him up. You can get both even money, plus 100. Mm. Otherwise, Adesanya's minus 260, Figueiredo's minus 220.
Right.
So if you think they're going to retain, pair him up, even money. I'll take that. Shime, you got something.
I sure do, guys. Actually, I also want to turn your attention to our show account. A friend of the show, Billy D, actually photoshopped Gresh and Eminem together. And it's the new poster for the movie 300 Mile coming out in July.
Actually, it should be the 291 Mile. Sorry. Now that I'm under that, you dinks. Recognize my weight loss, bitches!
But if you include the jumpsuit and the hat, the boots, the whole thing, it might be in the ballpark.
But my original You Got Something was actually, I mentioned yesterday how FaZe Clan was actually on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Well, Nick Merckx, one of the biggest streamers in all of the internet, it was actually on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah yesterday as well. That was a really cool interview. I recommend you go check it out. It's only like 7 minutes long. Nick's an awesome guy. So I really highly recommend that. John, you got something?
I do. So I mentioned last week during this time of the show that my guy John Mayer dropped a song last week. Now, three other artists from 2017, the cycle's starting to come around, all announced projects yesterday, one of which being pop music producer superhero Jack Antonoff. His band Bleachers dropped a track. But the thing that everyone's all excited for is the return of Lorde, who has sort of dominated music the last 8 years. So she dropped a new track called Solar Power. I recommend you listen to it. And then Freedom by George Michael back to back, because they're the same song. Also, after all that madness, The Killers announced they have a song coming out next week called Dustland featuring Bruce Springsteen. Rich, what do you got?
We need to put you on a timer for these.
That was 45 seconds.
Lorde has dominated music the last 8 years.
The Killers every time and she Bruce releases Springsteen, something.
Anyway, she had the one song. Anyway, hey, obviously no Bruins, no Celtics, but you do have the Red Sox this weekend. You got some NBA action tonight, including Hawks and 76ers Game 3. The Euro Cup.
Oh,
the 2020 Euro
yeah.
Cup. I'm in on this. I like World Cup soccer. I like Euro Cup soccer. I'm in on this. So you can watch all weekend long. And a scheduling change. We normally record the Dork Podcast on Monday night. We're going to record it Sunday night. 8:30, talking Sweet Tooth, the new show from Netflix. You can go to youtube.com/dorkpodcast. We'll be streaming it live 8:30 on Sunday.
Davey's so busy this week that you got to do it Sunday.
He's moving.
Oh.
Yeah.
This so is finally the week that he is?
He's packing up his stuff. Oh, yeah.
Sitting around boycotting, listening to very awesome radio shows because he can't control his rage about Tuukka Rask.
Well, he should listen to the producer show tomorrow, 8 to 9.
Oh, boom. There you go. Boom. There we go. All right. That's it for us. Everyone take a moment and smile. I hope you're not torn and that you have a great weekend and that you're back with us on Monday morning at 10 a.m. Aggression Keefe, OMF for next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.